My name is Paola Tester and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's Thursday the 16th of July 2009 at 9:20 p.m. Could you please tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you come from?
My name is David Rosenberg. My date of birth is 28th of October 1967 and I come from London.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth plinth?
I'm feeling quite excited.
How did you first hear about the project?
I think the first time I heard about this project for the fourth plinth was at the National Gallery when a number of proposals were exhibited, I forget how long ago, by a number of artists. And I was there because friends of mine who are model makers had made a model of a proposal by Bob and Roberta Smith, which wasn't selected, but I guess there were perhaps six different proposals, and Anthony Gormley's was one of them.
So are you a follower of what happens on the fourth plinth?
I am. I was very privileged in the late 90s and early 2000s, if that's what you call them, to be the project architect for the pedestrianisation of Trafalgar Square when I worked for Norman Foster. And so for a number of years, well, we started with a master plan for the whole area, a large part of central London, and effectively chose Trafalgar Square as the first important part of the master plan. Perhaps realising that if only one part of it should actually come about, we really thought it should be this part.
So what exactly was your involvement in that?
I was part of the design team proposing the pedestrianisation at the north side. We actually originally looked at pedestrianising all four sides. We did look at a proposal which would have completely pedestrianised the area, eventually, through a series of public consultation, a number of exhibitions, we had eight clients, all different sort of government bodies, Transport for London, etc. We worked very closely with transport engineers and concluded that the north side of Trafalgar Square, which had been proposed quite a while earlier by Richard Rogers as part of his proposal for the Sainsbury wing of the National Gallery, was the most appropriate. And I was also lucky in my year out between my first and second degrees to work for Robert Venturi and Denise Scott Brown, who were the architects for the Sainsbury wing that was eventually built. So that, combined with, believe it or not, the fact that my uncle was knocked over by a double-decker bus at the north side when it was still a traffic roundabout, partly inspired me to apply for the project.
So would you say that Trafalgar Square has a special importance to you?
Trafalgar Square has a very special importance to me personally, but I think it's also the heart of the nation in many ways. It represents so many of the things that the country we live in allows us to enjoy and that we take for granted, such as freedom of speech and democracy. I suppose what's peculiar about it is that it's the site of where so many people demonstrate because Parliament doesn't want them to demonstrate on Parliament Square. So in a way, Trafalgar Square has become more important because it's not where the Houses of Parliament are. And it's very symbolic. I think it's great that we have been able, 150 years on, to reclaim the square in a way for a different society, a more pluralistic and open and diverse society than the society in Trafalgar Square was built and the things for which Trafalgar Square was built. And whilst I have a great respect for heritage and for public art, I do feel that much of public art and statuary in the area is too biased towards militaristic, bombastic, chauvinistic, and possibly xenophobic attitudes. And we live in a society which, I'm glad to say, has moved away from all of those things. And whilst I know there are many detractors who can't understand why Ukrainians may be allowed to demonstrate in Trafalgar Square, or, you know, why there should be a pro-Israel rally or a pro-Palestinian rally, I think that's exactly why it's an important place.
And what does this project mean to you?
I'm a complete exhibitionist, and as the youngest of five children, I guess I've always been a bit of a performer and felt the need to be heard above the throng. And I'm very passionate about cycling, and I started my own design studio 2 years ago, which named after my pink bicycle, which is why it's called Velo Rose. And I just thought it was a great opportunity, if I was chosen, to get up there and pedal on my bicycle and try to convey to people what I consider to be the power of cycling, which is that for able-bodied people, it's really an amazing way to liberate yourself and to do so without really taking the environment for granted, to generate your own power and not to clog the earth with unwanted pollutants.
So will you be promoting the benefits of cycling from the plinth?
I suppose there are all sorts of messages that I'm probably going to be communicating from the plinth, none of which will be explicit. I'm not getting up there to make a speech. People will read a variety of things, I'm sure, into what I'm doing. Some people will just think it's a performance, and maybe that's all it is. Others perhaps will see that there's more to it than that. I do just enjoy the opportunity to be myself.
So can you describe to us exactly what you will be doing on the plinth?
I'm proposing to get dressed, because what I'm doing on the plinth is the result of collaboration with many artistic and creative friends, one of whom, Amanda Leet, has designed my costume by taking a suit and modifying it and turning it into a cycling suit by making it very reflective, by cutting the trousers down to shorts, and by effectively making it match my bicycle, which anyone who follows cycling knows is a key part of why cyclists wear what they do. Justin Smith, who is an incredibly talented milliner, has for the first time designed a bowler helmet, which is effectively a bike helmet with a traditional sort of bowler hat felt brim and a Petersham band, which matches the suit. And I will set up my bicycle on a bike trainer, which is very kindly lent to me by the people who made the bike. They are called Brompton, and the reason I'm very fond of them is that they are a wholly British manufacturing company, which is unfortunately a rarity nowadays. And the whole thing has really been... The whole thing has been put together with a friend called Jason Bruges, who runs a fantastic studio mostly dealing with interactive light installations. And on this occasion, we're, rather than generating light, we're using the light that is already on the plinth. We're going to be playing a lot of music, and we're going to be blowing big soap bubbles. And my friends Sally and Christian, who are model makers, and they were the ones who made the model for Bob and Roberta Smith, whatever it was, 18 months, 2 years ago, have made 200 pairs of rose-tinted spectacles, which we're handing out in the square, so that people can see everything in a happier and pleasant light.
Could you describe the equipment to us that you've brought, the light reflectors that you're setting up?
I've brought my folding bicycle, which is pink. It's one of my pink bicycles. I have a bike trainer which it sits on, and that enables me to pedal and to effectively generate power via a turbo, and it prevents me from cycling off the plinth as well. I have a power pack and two soap bubble producing machines that sit on the back of the bicycle. I have a rig of mirrors that sit on the front of the bicycle, and they are going to reflect a strobe light and a lot of the light that's around. I have an iPod, a selection of music that's been very carefully put together for the occasion, and an amplifier.
What music have you carefully put together?
Well, I would like to think that I've got quite a diverse range of music, which ties in with what I think of the square as being representative of the diversity of the United Kingdom at this point in time. And it features a variety of classical music and modern music. It has things at a variety of tempos, which means that I can cycle accordingly and that I don't have to pedal too hard for a whole hour.
So I can see that you look quite pink, and you've mentioned your pink bicycle. Have you got a fascination with the colour pink?
I do like the colour pink. My name is Rosenberg, and rose is, of course, pink in a number of languages, including French and German, and I deliberately chose not to name my design studio after myself. I felt that it wasn't about me, and as opposed to what you might think of performance tonight, I don't think the performance is about me either. I'm just the canvas for what happens. Obviously, I have to make things work, but I really don't see myself as the centre of attention, despite being an exhibitionist. Pink is a very unpopular colour, and pink is not something that I think we should fill our environment with. But I think it has a place in that it stands out. It was also used by the Nazis to identify homosexuals who had to wear pink triangles. And that was a pejorative thing. My father was born in Germany and came here with his family because of the Nazis. I'm very aware of the fact that I'm British in part because of the Second World War, because of anti-Semitism, because of what the Nazis stood for, and I'm very proud to stand up for everything that they were against.
Who would you say that you're doing this for?
Well, I was probably originally just doing it for myself, but when I realised how many people wanted to get involved and became involved and worked so hard to make it happen, I changed my plans, and I would say I'm doing it for everybody who's made the effort to come here tonight, particularly to friends and family, to anybody who's going to watch it on the web, to anyone who turns up, really, whether I know them or not.
And what do you hope will happen once you get up there?
I'm hoping that it doesn't rain. And I'm hoping that all the equipment works. And that's about it, really.
Do you have any fears at all about going up on the plinth?
I don't have any fears about going up on the plinth, and that's the only thing that worries me a bit, because I think I ought to be more worried than I am.
We're trying to build a picture of the people who've applied for the project. What would you say the things that are important to you?
I think that honesty is the most important thing. I'm conscious of the fact that I'm very privileged and that most of us who live in this country are very privileged in relation to the rest of much of the world, and that the things that we get upset about are perhaps not worth getting upset about. It's important for me to not take life or myself too seriously. I work in a profession, architecture, in which I see far too many people who take themselves seriously because they don't seem to understand that you can be very serious about what you do but not take yourself seriously. People are ridiculous, and if more people appreciated that, I think the world would be a better place. It's why I'm very happy to get on a bicycle which, whatever you think of it, looks like a circus bike and makes you look like a clown and forces you to smile and makes other people smile and is a very positive and responsible thing. And I think perhaps the most important thing of all that ties everything together is to not only love people around you, but to perhaps more importantly express that love to the people around you.
Are your family watching you? You mentioned your family earlier.
I'm not sure who from my family will be watching. I know that my aunt and one of my dad's cousins have come down specially to be here, but most of my family lives abroad. And my parents did ring me from Jerusalem a couple of hours ago to ask me how they can watch what's going on. And I have family all over the world, in America, on the continent, on the other side of the world, New Zealand, Australia, and many of them have said they will be watching tonight.
So you've spoken a little bit about the background of your family, and it sounds like different nationalities and people in different places. How would you say you're representing yourself on the plinth?
I think I'm representing myself just by getting up there, by doing something I'm really passionate about, by hopefully demonstrating a certain degree of creativity, and also representing the power of collaborating and working with friends, because what I'm doing on the plinth I could not have done by myself, and I have not done by myself, and there are many people, including the people who work in my studio, who've put a lot of effort into tonight.
Is there a particular reason for the bowler hat? Why a bowler hat?
I guess the reason for the bowler hat is that we've taken the idea of wearing a suit, of riding a commuter bike, of the sort of city gent. I suppose it's reminiscent of a time gone by, and I think there are lots of things we've abandoned from years past that we should be thinking of picking up again. And what we've done really is we've taken a normal suit and turned it into a cycling suit, and we've taken a cycle helmet and turned it into a almost normal hat. And I do believe that civilized cities are ones in which you can walk and cycle comfortably. So I suppose I'm trying to be civilized by wearing a bowler hat.
You mentioned earlier that you'd done 2 degrees. Would you mind telling us a bit more about that?
Well, the 2 degrees that I referred to are in some ways a normal part of an architecture course, because one has to do a first degree. One typically works in between the first and second degrees, and then one does a diploma. I did a master's as well in something called space syntax, which is a scientific and sociological way of identifying how people move around space, whether in a small environment or at an urban scale. And we ended up working very closely with space syntax on the pedestrianization of Trafalgar Square, and that's partly how I ended up working on that project. So I have a number of degrees in architecture. I have a master's in space syntax, and I did originally go to university to study law. I briefly toyed with computer science and with philosophy, but eventually realized that architecture was probably my calling.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
I don't think I have. it's very, very public. And from the sound of things outside, it's going to be very, very wet. I do participate every year in the London version of the World Naked Bike Ride. And I suppose in some ways that means this is not the first time I've exposed myself on a bicycle. Whilst I do regularly cycle for hours at a time for leisure and for fitness, I've never done it in such a public way before.
And have you participated in other arts projects?
I have been involved in arts projects in a number of ways, sometimes by helping the artist find people to take part, which I did recently for an artist called Graham Miller for a piece which is on Barbican at the moment called Baseline, which is set in the car park of the Barbican. And I worked with an artist called Anna Best, who also did some work at the Barbican, and I helped her create part of her work there for a couple of days.
And are you a follower of Anthony Gormley's work?
I suppose that I am a follower of Anthony Gormley's work. I'm not sure if I'm a fan. I am intrigued enough to see what his next project is each time. I think, quite impressed to note that he had chosen, when given the opportunity, not to put himself on the plinth. And I like the idea that he's applied and hasn't yet been chosen, and I hope in a way he isn't chosen, because he's really the person who shouldn't be on the plinth. His work is very often about himself, and it is himself, and the idea that he's now making it about other people I think is great.
And if you had to summarise your experience since applying, and now 20 minutes before you're going to go on, what would you say about it?
It's been very exciting. It's been a lot of fun. I think the only thing I regret is that everything feels a little bit too safe. Nothing's very edgy. Everyone's treating everyone with kid gloves, and perhaps it's all a little bit too politically correct. And I also query the selection process, which I know is essentially random, but because of the algorithm which ensures that there's a greater diversity than actually exists, as much as I am a fan of diversity and I think it's important, I'm not sure whether it should be enforced. And so if it transpired that almost everyone who got on the plinth was male and white and from London, then so be it. So I think I'm not convinced about that part of the project.
Have you been following the people upon the plinth?
I've been very busy, and I must confess it's been sporadic. I definitely looked on the first day, and I've met a few of the other participants because I took part in a couple of photo shoots when we were first selected, and stayed in touch with one of them. He's cycling tomorrow. And one of the reasons I'm not actually just doing a kind of straight cycling thing is because he's going to do that tomorrow, and I felt I should let him do his bit, and I'll do something different.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
Nothing really, other than to say that I'm not entirely sure what this project is about, and I guess that's partly because it's happening as we speak, and I'm going to be very intrigued to look back on this in, say, 10 years' time and perhaps try to understand what it was all about.